The very talented Cindy Maty is with me tonight. She's an artist and a musician, and she's also involved with the Celtic Women International Organization, which is what we're going to find out about tonight. Cindy, I'm delighted to be with you.
Yes.
Just start us off by telling us, what's the mission of Celtic Women International?
Celtic Women International's mission is to honor, celebrate, and promote Celtic women and Celtic heritage.
And I also think that I read that there's a celebration of the diversity within the Celtic cultures also. So mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? What places are involved in, when we think of Celtic culture, what does
right.
that include?
Well, people tend to refer to the seven Celtic lands, which would be Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Cornwall in England, Brittany in France, the Isle of Man, and Galicia in northern Spain. But I think we could add to that Canada, America, Australia, New Zealand, and anywhere else the diaspora has taken people who were constantly moving around because of they couldn't tolerate the conditions at home. So they were moving other places and brought
yes.
their culture with them.
So it's a global community, mm-hmm. really, and a very sharing one. I also loved something I read that I think is a part of the mission, which is integrity, credibility, and authenticity. So speak a little bit about authenticity, if you will. Is this a desire to not have the culture diluted or hyped, so to speak?
Well, I would think that like in the 90s, we had this period of a great deal of interest in Celtic things, but you got a lot of pseudo-history mixed in with that. So we're trying to define characters who appeared in history that were of Irish or Scottish or Welsh heritage and find out what was the true story about them. We've had a series of the Irish in Cincinnati. We've been giving talks on that sort of thing with Sister Anthony O'Connell, who founded Good Samaritan Hospital and was a Civil War era nurse. So we want to find out the real history, not just the sort of like popular pseudo history.
So beyond the anecdotal, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
I know that this is a worldwide effort also, as well as local. And I ask you if you would bring something to read tonight, because I believe that you're also going to have an ongoing book club. Is that true?
Yeah, we're just getting that started. We've been patterning our organization on the other chapters that were founded originally in Milwaukee, Chicago, and they're very vibrant chapters of women. In fact, a group of them went to Ireland last year, and I went with them. I was the only one from Cincinnati who went to visit Holy Wells dedicated to St. Bridget. And they all have book club nights, so we thought we would start an Irish book night once in a while. And I'll just read you a bit from one of the Mysteries of Ancient Ireland by Peter Tremaine. That's his pseudonym. He's really Peter Beresford Ellis, a well-known historian. So these books, although light and interesting mystery novels, they are well-researched and not great literature, but well-researched. You learn a lot about history.
And Irish are known for their sense of humor, I believe.
You learn a lot in this because you learn about how they dress. This is 7th century Ireland, and the main character is Sister Fidelma, a fictional character who is not only a nun, but the sister of the king and a well-known, very highly trained lawyer in the ancient laws. And she's also a good detective. But she also has a significant other, Brother Adolf, who is from the Saxon church, and they solve crimes together and they do other things together. So here's a little bit about their very first meeting. She gave a startled oh as she walked around a corner and collided with a thick-set monk. Only the fact that he reached out strong hands and caught her saved her from stumbling backwards and falling. For a moment, the young man and woman stared at each other. It was a moment of pure chemistry. Some empathy passed between the dark brown eyes of the man into Fidelma's green ones. Then Fidelma noticed the tonsure of Rome on the young man's crown and realized that he must be one of the Roman delegation and probably a Saxon. "Forgive me," she said stiffly, choosing Latin to address him. Realizing that he still grasped her forearm, she gently pulled away. The young monk let go immediately and took a step back. Fighting the confusion on his face, he succeeded. "Mea culpa," he replied gravely, striking his left breast with his right clenched fist, yet with a smile flickering behind his eyes. Fidelma hesitated and then bowed her head in acknowledgement before moving on, wondering why the face of the young Saxon intrigued her. Perhaps it was the quiet humor that lurked in his gaze. Her experience with Saxons was limited, but she had not credited them with being a humorous people. To meet one who was not dour and brooding and took insult at the slightest thing, which, in her experience, all Saxons did, fascinated her. In general, she had found them morose and quick-tempered. They were a people who lived by the sword, and with very few exceptions, believed in their gods of war rather than the god of peace.
Tell us again the title of that.
This one is the very first book in the series, and it's called Absolution by Murder. You can look them up as Mysteries of Ancient Ireland by Peter Tremain.
So he's writing about the 7th century, but when was he actually writing these?
He's still writing them.
Still writing?
Yes, they recently just came out with, I think, the 16th book or something in the series. He also has written some short stories about Sister Fidelma. The first one takes place at the Synod of Whitby in 664. So that's where the Celtic Church and the Roman Church kind of worked out some of their differences, but for another 1,000 years, many of the Celtic church members held out to their own beliefs.
I know that in addition to the book club, you have other presentations that you offer at your meetings, and you have one coming up in September.
Mm-hmm.
What will that be about, Cindy?
We have a meeting once a month on the fourth Thursday of the month, usually. We have snacks and drinks and just a speaker or sometimes just a group discussion. We're going to be showing a movie on September 27th at 7 p.m. It'll be a movie that was made in the 1970s by Tim Severin, who recreated the voyage of St. Brendan the Navigator by building a boat similar to the 6th century boats that were made of animal skin stretched over wood. And he sailed from Ireland up the coast, Scotland, the Faroes, Iceland, Greenland, and Newfoundland to prove that St. Brendan could have discovered America in the 6th century. So it's an exciting movie. It's only 60 minutes, so we're going to show it that night.
And then do you have discussion afterwards?
Mm-hmm. There will be several people there. Actually, a lot of men have been showing up at our meetings. There's not any restriction on it. We don't charge admission. We suggest a donation that helps us cover the rent to the Irish Heritage Center, which is where we hold our meetings. And that's on Eastern Avenue, Cincinnati's new Irish Heritage Center. We're really proud of that. And it's a great gathering place for all of us Celts to come together and other people, too. I mean, we don't restrict it to anybody. Some of us are members in the National Organization of Celtic Women International, but the local group isn't charging dues or anything. It's very open-ended. Anybody can come.
Well, and I know the Irish Heritage Center has been in the process of renovating their building also, some of which is completed and looks wonderful.
The first floor is really very usable right now. They've got air conditioning in some of the rooms. They have a wonderful pub with a liquor license and everything. They have a tea room, which is where we usually hold our meetings. They have a wonderful auditorium that you can rent out. Now they're working on the second floor, and this used to be an old elementary school. The rooms are gorgeous for artists. They're big high windows and nice wooden floors, large rooms that artists could rent out. So that's in the works right now, and organizations, nonprofits, anybody who wants to rent a space on a one-time only or an ongoing basis, they're open to that, and they'd love to talk to you.
I want to thank you for joining us tonight and for letting us know about this yet another wonderful enrichment to our city.
Yes.
I've been talking with Cindy Métis about Celtic Women International, which has a chapter right here in Cincinnati at the Irish Heritage Center on Eastern Avenue. You'll find more about it at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.